You know, God has given us a number of gifts. We have 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church. And it seems like it really demonstrates who the church is if those gifts are displayed and we have them displayed in the church. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, healing, miracles, faith, discerning of spirits, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. All of these are gifts of the Spirit, but they're gifts that God has given to the body of believers. He's given us individual gifts, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he showers us with many things, but there are so many today who haven't opened the gifts at all. And so every message that is preached over this pulpit is a Christmas message. It's giving you information that you are able to redeem for more of the benefits of God. And tonight, what I want to do is build some faith here through teaching the Word of God that we could receive something that perhaps you didn't have access to before. And so 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting in verse number 20, it says, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not against. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." So here it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense, not now, were healed. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word, that you touch it, anoint it, allow us to see what we haven't seen before, experience what we haven't experienced before, amen, a greater depth of understanding, yes, and a revelation, that we might receive more, amen, of what you have for us. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd also turn to very familiar scripture, James, the 5th chapter, starting in verse number 13. James 5 and 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any merry, let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." This is somewhat of a formula, and God's saying, are you willing to do these things specified in the scripture in order to receive what I have promised you? And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. So there has to be some belief involved in order to see the reaction that we want. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It's all part of that process. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. So it's not just the ministry that causes someone to be healed, but as we're praying for one another, according to this, and we talked about this for the last several weeks, as we're praying one for another, we're actually healed by praying for somebody else. Amen. The effectual or active fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or is very forceful in dealing with what our needs are. It seems like this has been a year that there has been more sickness than I can remember. So early on, maybe it's a part of this beautiful weather that we've had, and the sicknesses have been lasting longer than I can remember. I hardly ever get sick, and yet for a couple of weeks I had to deal with a cold. And I believe we need relief that doctors and antibiotics cannot fix. We need something from another world, and God has given us that provision. Perhaps if we had a better understanding of God's word, it would be easier for us to receive what God has already promised us and the authority that we have over sickness. And I guess what we need to understand is, what is this all about? Where is our authority, and where does it start, and how do we receive what we need from God? Now, we don't have all of the answers, and this is a subject that has been preached about and delivered many, many times, and we have seen many, many miracles within our congregation, and yet we have seen many, many people who have been prayed for and have not been healed. And I don't understand why one person is healed and another person is not healed. And God doesn't have to reveal that to any one of us, but there is a purpose. All things work together for good for those that are the called according to His purpose. So we don't understand. And all sickness doesn't come because of sin or because you're not doing what's right. Sometimes God will use sickness in order to provoke us to do something that we're not doing or be more conscious of Him and put us on our knees. And yet God is sovereign. It is up to Him alone for His purpose. Amen. It's never for our glory. It's never because, look at us, we can do this. Amen. Sister Schumacher was totally healed from fibromyalgia some years ago, and it has not come back. Later, she was healed from esophageal problems, only to have heart problems later. So, not because she wasn't totally living for God, but understand that there is a purpose for everything that happens in our life. And when things happen, we really need to evaluate and ask God, God, is there a purpose for this? Is there something that you want to show me? Or is there somebody in my life that needs to see that when I'm sick, I'm calling on the great physician, you see? Is it an opportunity to witness to somebody in the hospital, in the doctor's office, or a relative or a friend, just as Sister Rodriguez's father now has a better understanding of a God who can completely take charge, and the whole family has a better understanding, and so God sometimes puts us through those situations. Healing isn't just a formula that we follow out of God's manual, but we do want to see healing based on how we follow the instructions of God. You know, if we're not praying for somebody to get healed, well, they're just not going to get healed. And God needs to get the glory in every one of these situations. Amen?
Amen.
Would you turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter, please? Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 16. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So what He is saying here is God took those weaknesses, those infirmities, and those sicknesses upon Himself. Jesus Himself took them and bare our sickness. And we need to get a picture of that. He paid the tremendous price for our salvation. We talk about that. And he also paid a great price for our healings. He stopped and he was beat so we could get healed. And I said last Wednesday that there were three times that the blood of Christ were applied to us, Calvary for our salvation, the beating that he took so we could get healed, and then the droplets of blood that fell from him in the Garden of Gethsemane that we could have a deliverance from thoughts and feelings that are not of God. And so why then aren't all people that we pray for healed? Healing is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we don't question God when in every service we don't experience tongues and interpretation. We don't say, well, God, you know, why didn't we have tongues and interpretation in this service? And we do frequently. God speaks to us, but we never question why he didn't do that in every service. I've been used in those gifts as God has led. I've also prayed over sinners that are miraculously healed who have never served God. And I'm saying, well, God, why would you heal somebody who hasn't even had enough gratitude to come to a church service? And yet there are faithful saints that I've prayed for over and over and over again, and they never seem to get healed. Well, God's sovereign. He doesn't have to answer to me. He doesn't have to answer to you. Amen. You know, I can make it to heaven with pneumonia. Right. You know? The key is, I've got to be saved. Yeah. I don't have to be healthy. Right. And sometimes we have a greater appreciation for God when we don't have all of the strength that we once had. Now, I wish we could empty all of the hospitals. Wouldn't that be fun? Okay, Monday we're all going to gather to church, and you go to St. Luke's, and I want you to go to Frederick, and I want you to go, you know, the VA, and we're going to clean out the hospitals. We're going to put doctors out of business, you know? Wouldn't that be fun? Who'd want to do that, you know? Okay, three of us. But people won't serve God because they're healed. You heard plenty of testimonies to that. It's because they responded to the gospel. It's because they touched God and God touched them, and they decided, you know what, I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to repent, and I need to have my sins washed away and filled with an energy, a power that allows me to want to conform to the word of God. Amen. Healing won't save us, you see. It was not what happened in the Bible. Listen, even Jesus didn't empty out the pool of Bethesda. You know, it was the hospital of the day. There were all kinds of sick folks who were laying around the pool, and they were waiting for a stirring of the water, you know. But Jesus singled out one individual, walked up to that individual, and healed them. Somebody who had been looking for God's touch for 38 years, and he walked away. But the Bible doesn't say any of the other folks that were laying around that pool got saved. The man Jesus was directed by the Spirit to heal one there. And on another occasion, he was directed to heal everybody. And so, what's the situation? It's not about us. It's about the Spirit and the power of God for a purpose. Man who was blind, and the Pharisees wanted to know, who did it? You know, I don't know. I was blind and now I can see. The lame man jumping and leaping and thanking God, you see. Maybe others wouldn't jump around and thank God. Maybe others wouldn't even thank God at all. He is the content and we are the container. We speak and do as we are directed by the Spirit. We are just conduits of God's Spirit in order to facilitate those things and miracles that God wants us to do. We need to be directed perhaps to that one in the hospital or directed to somebody that has been praying for 38 years in order to be delivered or healed or whatever. And that individual will jump and leap and tell everybody else. Amen. You see, anyone who has the Holy Ghost is now a container who God wants to change into a conduit. If we're just the container of the Holy Ghost, something will happen that we end up as a traditional Pentecost rather than a conduit giving that which we have to somebody else, you see. Hallelujah. Because the contents in us is the same contents that was in the man Jesus, and we must understand that the power that is within us is greater than that which is in the world, and greater than whatever problem that we face. And we shouldn't have to worry about, were we a success because we gave them what God gave us. That's not our job. Our job is to give what we have to somebody. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I wonder, did Peter and John ever pray for somebody that wasn't healed? You know, it isn't written down. Jesus declared that he was preaching the kingdom of God, and every time he healed the sick or cleansed the leper, it was because of the gospel. You see, it wasn't a matter, I'm going out just to heal people. He was going out to save people, and in the process of saving people, they got healed. And so maybe our purpose is wrong, to go out to heal people or somehow save them, and if the healing doesn't come, it doesn't matter. At least they're ready for heaven. Proclamation comes with performance. Declaration comes with demonstration. Teaching comes with transformation. So if the teaching doesn't transform, it's worthless, you see. If the declaration doesn't demonstrate, hey, there is a better way, or the proclamation doesn't come with, hey, this is supernatural, that's why we need to worship God the best that we possibly can in every service. So when the visitor walks in here, there is some kind of performance of the Holy Ghost which says, God's in this place. I didn't understand a word that preacher said, but I felt something in this place, you see. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. So the prerequisite was teaching and giving the gospel before the healing ever took place, you know? So if we have a soup kitchen, you can't have any soup until you first hear the message. Right. You know? And maybe that's kind of the way it is in every church service. And, you know, unless you're willing to sit and listen, you know, and really respond to the preaching and really respond to the preaching, maybe God won't give you anything. You see? It's kind of a soup kitchen, you know. What then is the gospel of the kingdom? To heal all manner of disease, cast out devils, deliver people, teach them the truth about salvation, and then let them experience transformation. There was a struggle at Gethsemane over the cup that he was to take. There was a struggle. And there's a struggle with each and every one of us. God's asking us to do some things, and sometimes we struggle. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 42, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Now, had Jesus not accepted the sin of the world, he could not have been put to death on the cross. Nobody is going to force our God to Calvary. He had to lay down his life. And no one's going to force you to do anything. Amen. You have to lay down your life. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Disease and sickness is death in small doses. You know, nobody gets out of this thing alive. None of the apostles got out of this alive, and their life wasn't just perfect and pristine. They didn't have all, even though they most likely all healed the sick, they all died as a result of being in these bodies. But our God has overruled sickness by his stripes. Jesus went through the substitutionary pain and suffering that we could have healing and salvation. And while he was made to suffer, we were made to be well. I believe it's a promise that God has given us, and I believe we have access to this promise. While he was made sin, we were made righteous, you see. So the hurt he took was for our well-being. The death that he experienced was that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't do miracles because he was deity camouflaged in dust. We must understand this or we won't have the faith to release the power that is within us, you see. Jesus said in John 14 and 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So he's saying, now all of what you have seen, you have access to, and I think sometimes we live way below our privilege because the doubt that we have, and if we prayed for somebody and they weren't healed, we start to stack up the doubt and the unbelief. And the more we see the miracles happen, the easier it is for us to see more miracles happen because we have a greater faith to believe, or why didn't it happen, you see? And so we together, we need to encourage one another. We need to tell the testimonies of God's great work in our life. Jesus did these works as a normal man anointed with the Holy Ghost. And if he did them because he was all God, then we don't have any hope of being able to do what he did. But he was the God-man, and it was the Spirit within him that gave him the power in order to experience the miracles. And sometimes we think, okay, it was all God, but we could never get to that place where we're all deity, but we have deity within us, which is the power in order to see that experience in other people's lives. What could be more fun? You know? I mean, really. Prayer meetings are fine, but if there isn't anything that happens in prayer meeting, church is fine, but if nothing's happening in church, we're just Amway people, you know? And that's what causes other people to be attracted to us because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, his whole miracle ministry flowed out of the anointing of his flesh. And that is why we can now step into the miracle ministry. The church that conforms to the word will see the miracles. And that's why I preach righteousness so much. Because if we're not living for God and we're not a righteous congregation, we shouldn't have the right to see the miracles happen. Amen. So the churches that leave holiness and righteous living and want the world to be a part of their life, you know, they just don't have access to or the right to see the miracles that God wants to give us, because he's not going to give that power to just anybody. Amen. We have to be pre-qualified in order to see that happen. And when you're living right for God and you're praying and you're doing the best that you can in this flesh, you have a confidence to walk over to somebody and say, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, receive in Jesus' name. You see, that's where our confidence comes, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, the power that we have within us. But there's a price that we pay for the power, just like there was a price to pay for our healings, a beating that was just horrible. There's a price that was paid for our salvation, and we too have to take up our cross daily, and we too have to live righteously in order to see the miraculous within our congregation. Otherwise, what we are is a bunch of frustrated Pentecostals. We tell everybody we have healing in our church, but we're not seeing it. We're telling everybody that miracles and signs and wonders are for the end times, and we're going to see more and more, but then when it doesn't happen, we're starting to wonder, where is God? Well, God's always there, but we have to be the people that God wants to use as conduits, and if we're not living the right way, God can't use us as a conduit to all of those miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. So, do we want comfort or do we want miracles? Amen. Do we want to have one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and not be satisfied in either one? Exodus 15 and 26 says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I like what Brother Lenny Smith said a long time ago when he was preaching here. He says, remember when the shadow of Jesus fell on those people and they were healed? Well, no, you didn't, because it's never happened. But Peter's shadow fell on people, and they greater miracles than these, well, you do, you know? So glory to God. Remember when Jesus took that cloth and anointed it and people were healed? No, you don't. But Paul had cloths and aprons and laid them on sick folk and they were healed. So we're doing things that Jesus didn't do because he said there are going to be greater things. Hallelujah. God's not changed. What he has done, he still wants to do. There are a whole lot more people today than there was 2,000 years ago walking around, and so there are a whole lot more needs, a lot more people who have problems, and it doesn't really matter what kind of medical technology we have today. In the days of Noah, they were living 900 years, and then God reduced the lifespan to 120 after the flood, and then later, when people still wouldn't live for God, he was 70 or 70 years. And they didn't have CT scans, and they didn't have X-ray machines, and they didn't have robots in the surgery rooms, and yet we're not living any longer years than they did 6,000 years ago. It's all about God. It's like what Brother Portman said in Ephesians 6, that if children will obey their parents, they shall live long lives. And like it says in Hebrews 1, and I think verse number 12, it says, because you've set your love on me, I will give you long days. See, it's all up to God and how we respond to his word. Amen. Glory to God. I've seen people who have left the church, and within a matter of a couple of years, it looks like they've aged 20 years. It seems like they get out from under the umbrella of God Amen. Could you turn to Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53 and verse number 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him." So we're talking about Jesus, and, you know, of course, if it were up to us and we were going to come from heaven into this world, we would have picked out the perfect body, the perfect face, the, you know, but him, he came so humbly, and even when he walked the face of the earth, there wasn't anything of great beauty that would attract people, but there was a spirit about him. You see, it's not so important how gorgeous you are. It's the Spirit of God that is within us that attracts people to us. Amen. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities," or sin. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." It's what Peter was saying in 1 Peter 2 and 23. And so here we have a description of Jesus long before he took on the body that he came through Bethlehem. The blood of Jesus was put on the altar for atonement. The word atonement means a covering. There are two things covered under God's atonement policy here in the scriptures that we just read. It is sin and it is sickness. In verse 4, it said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." This same word translated grief was translated 34 other times as sickness or disease. He has borne our sickness and our disease. This is confirmed in Matthew 8 and 17 when quoting Isaiah 53 and 4. Jesus said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness." So what he did was to take on our infirmities, our weaknesses, our problem areas, and our sicknesses. And if you break down Isaiah 53 and 4 down in the original Hebrew, it would read this way: "Surely," or "certainly, he hath borne," or "carried away our sickness," and "carried," and that word "carried" there is to carry garbage outside the camp, "carried our sickness and our sorrows." The sorrow, the word sorrow means pain, regret, remorse, inadequacies. He's taking care of all of these things. If we hold on to these things, God's saying, "Why? I've already paid the price to cover these areas." And I know it can be frustrating. I've been in that place where my body is just screaming in pain, and I've screamed out to Jesus, and it hasn't happened. But nevertheless, as long as I have breath, I'm going to keep asking God, "Help me, God. Help them, God." Because I believe this scripture is for me. Amen. We're not living in a day where these things don't pertain to us any longer. And just because it hasn't happened now doesn't mean it's not going to happen in 10 minutes. In a little while, we're going to open this altar, and I have oil here, and we're going to anoint people. And I believe because of the scripture elevating our level of faith that something is going to happen in this place tonight before we leave. But Pastor, you prayed for me a dozen times and it just hasn't worked. Okay, I'm just going to give up then. I just won't pray for you anymore, you know? No. 38 years. 38 years. You know, and Jesus is standing in front of this guy and he's saying, what would you have? And he's saying, I don't have any men to put me in the water. And whenever the water is troubled, somebody always gets in before me. Healing is standing right in front of him. And he's worried about somebody helping him to the water. How close are you to the healing right now?
Amen.
God's in this place.
Amen.
God's in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory. So Jesus bore all of the pain that is associated with our sickness, disease, failures, mistakes, errors, and feelings of regret. And our salvation flows through his dying on the cross. But before he got to the hill, he went to the whipping post. If all Jesus wanted to do is get us saved, then what was the purpose of having his back shredded, muscle and tendons sticking out of his back in agony? Why would he do that if he wasn't going to heal us? Why would he allow them to do that before he got to the place of the agony of the cross? How important to God is your healing? Think about the agony he went through. It had to be as important as you wanting to be healed. What a price to pay for our healing tonight. By his blood and death are we saved, but by his stripes, by that agony, are we healed. His dying in blood was designed to set us free from sin and Satan, and his beating was designed to give us freedom from sickness and disease and heartache and regrets and remorse. Sometimes a sick mind is just as bad as a sick body.
Amen.
Sometimes there's the mental gymnastics that you go through because you haven't been healed that puts you in a worse state than if it wasn't just your body. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Should live unto righteousness, and I really believe that there's the key to a lot of healings. I want God to heal me, but I'm not going to conform to God's word. Well, maybe that's the deal killer. You see? I know in the 10th chapter of Matthew, God gives the disciples all the power to heal all diseases. And then by the 17th chapter, they try it and it isn't working. And they're frustrated. And sometimes, church, we can be so frustrated even though we've been given the power. Now, when Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, in fact, let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. I'm coming to an end if we can have our musicians come. 1 Corinthians 11. verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So when Jesus gave the Lord's Supper in that upper room, he did two things. The vine or the cup symbolized the life that was in the blood. My blood is shed for the remission of sins of many. And the bread was a symbol of his broken body. So there were two things that were given for remembrance, not as a symbol of salvation, but as a symbol of a body that was broken so our body could be healed. So every time we take communion, what it symbolizes is our salvation and our healing. Because he became sin and died, we were able to become righteous. Because his body was broken, we are able to become healed. That wasn't just our Savior on the cross. He was the finest doctor that this world has ever known. The great physician. The one who made these bodies and doesn't take a CT scan or an x-ray to figure out what's wrong, because he knows exactly what is wrong. He knows the application. He knows what it takes in order to make us well again. Amen. So let's think about the price he paid so we could be healed tonight. Amen. And we need to go out to pray for those that are around us. And there are people everywhere who need a healing touch and power of God. There is no failure in what we're doing, because we're not the healer. We're just the conduit. We're just somebody who brings that power and application of God's broken body to each and every one who wants it. What an incredible provision that he has made for us. And sometimes we just focus on the salvation, but we don't focus on the healing that he has given us. Amen. So would you stand with me tonight? Now we could all just come to the altar for a couple of minutes and get in our cars and go home. And not take the application of what the Word of God presented to us tonight. And I know what the human nature and psyche is that, you know, we tried this before and it's not worked. Can we get Brother Arcovio back here? Healing doesn't come in an evangelist briefcase, folks. It's all about increasing the level of faith through Scripture. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And because the Word of God was delivered tonight, there's a measure of faith that has increased here. Amen. Not for Sunday morning, not for tomorrow morning, although the application applies, but tonight. Amen. But Pastor, what if you put oil on me tonight and nothing happens? Is that your fault? See, we're serving a sovereign God. And he will do what he will do here tonight. Amen. But I choose to believe that God can do something miraculous here on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. With somebody who has been suffering for a long time with a lot of things. I believe tonight. We've got a God here who wants to stand by his word and perform what he said he would perform. Because he wasn't kidding when he stopped and allowed some man, some creation, to beat him bloody. Because he loves us so much and he wants provision for us. Would you come?